Okay, good afternoon, everybody. Today's topic, a Torah ethic in a perceived ethical world, I believe is a very difficult topic. And before I begin, I want to state that I don't underestimate or, God forbid, negate the pain of anybody who finds the demands of the Torah to be very, very challenging and very difficult. However, that's not the point of the shiur, is really to explain how we understand the ethics of the Torah in contrast to the ethics of the world at large today. And the shiur today the catalyst for shiur today was an article that I saw in the foreword. It was printed on June 8th, 2015. I have to tell you that as a child, I remember seeing the foreword. It was a Yiddish paper. And I actually remember the paper getting smaller and smaller and smaller as, I guess, unfortunately, the older generation, you know, who very much loved to read Yiddish, passed on. And then I remember they making an announcement. They're going to start. I remember actually when it was still Yiddish, they would have one or two pages of English. And since I moved out of the United States, I lost track of the foreword. I understand that their circulation is not a small circulation. And I found the article very disturbing. And I printed an excerpt of the article on the Daf Mikorot. And the article started off that the Orthodox rabbinate will come around to approving same-gender marriage and equal status for women in halacha and Jewish law, provided the members of such equality in the wider society builds to the point where discrimination is so repugnant that the Orthodox rabbinate feels morally compromised. And he goes on, the writer of the article, to basically state that you can't take time to, as you can see, to persuade the rabbinate to change its world. And it's because, he says, Orthodoxy invests in morality, and as they see that really the Jews have a different, new moral understanding, they will change also. And then he gives an example. He says that the rabbis are skilled craftsmen, and they have fashioned tools for implementing formal de facto change in the halachic process. An example he gives, and I'd first like to focus on an example, it's the first point of the shir, is the halacha of ayin tachas ayin, shein tachas shein, regal tachas regal, literally means an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, foot for a foot, and a leg for a leg, and hand for a hand. And if we translate literally, it would mean that if I chop off someone else's hand, my hand should get chopped off. I take out someone else's eye, my eye should be knocked out also. And we know that it's not halacha. And he explains that Talmud offers a technical justification in the Torah, for the Torah requires universal applicability of laws, and such a portion of it would be inapplicable to the eyeless or the blind. Okay? Now, that's one Gemara. However, I would just point out that that he seems to imply that the rabbis looked in a way to explain this pasuk in a way which is morally justified, and that's incorrect. And I'm not, I would be down the kavshus that it was based on ignorance, and he didn't know the Rambam in his Hakdamah to Perush HaMishnah. The Rambam in his introduction to Perush HaMishnah said, asked the question. We know there's such a concept as halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. That certain halachas which have no basis, which have no pasuk in the Torah to be based on, is called halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. But the Rambam asks, well, what is a perush HaMakubo Mitzrayim? What does a perush HaMakubo Mitzrayim mean? And the Rambam source number one, in fact, Dominic Perush HaMishnah says, V'hu yesh l'toin lomar. He says, "In Yehayu Perushi Atar Mekubal and Moshe, if he aklam shemarik shkarno amram kol Torah nemar kol sev arsev with the sev misinai." Says, "If there's such a thing as perish hamakubal misinai, what then is the halachos hamiyuchados that we refer to them as halachos Moshe misinai?" And he says, "This is a sod we need to explain." And he explains that the perushim hamukubal and misinai, those explanations that are given over from Sinai, there is no machlokas, no argument at all. No argument at all. He says, and he says, you should know, he says, he gives an example. He says, we know that from the time Moshe Rabbeinu, until the time of Rav Ashi, there is not one opinion in the Gemara, not one opinion, that tries to explain that if someone would go ahead and blind the eye of a person, that his eye should be blinded. All right, it just means money. And then he goes on other examples. In other words, this is not a technical justification. This is a perish hamakovel misinai. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, ayin tachas ayin means you pay money. Why? Why does the Torah use that explanation of ayin tachas ayin then, if it just means money? So I think the Rashbam says a person should know, if he takes out a person's eye, what he really deserves is for eye to be taken out. But the Torah doesn't demand that. The Torah demands something else. The Torah doesn't allow it. The Torah demands something else. But this is a perish hamakovel misinai, which is not a technical justification. In his words, it is not the idea that the Torah requires universal applicability of laws. This is what's mekubal from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe at Sinai, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe. And the fact that we try to learn out from, you know, one way to another way is just to make it easier to remember. But this is a perish hamakubal misinai. So how could a person go ahead and say and try to assume that the rabbis today can allow something which the Torah says it's usur? How can a person go ahead and say that something which has been received generation after generation, Moshe Rabbeinu, is just a technical justification? So I heard from my father, Aaron Soloveitchik. He actually gave this shiur in Eretz Yisrael, I think in the 80s. Maybe it was 1986. And it says, Shmos Perek Laman Aleph Pasuk Gimel. So we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Bezalel to build the Mishkan, Pasuk says, "Vamali oso ruach lekim." I'll fill Bezalel. This is in source number 2. I'll fill Bezalel of the Spirit of God, the chachma, the svun, the das, the chol malacha. What is chachma? What is svun, tvun, and what is das? So Rashi explains, chachma is what someone hears from someone else. Chachma is knowledge, facts. We have to learn facts, take in facts. That's chachma. What is tvuna? Tvuna is what you do with the facts. Maven dover mitalivo. You learn something, and what else do you understand? What do you extrapolate from these facts? And das is ruach hakodesh. Das is ruach hakodesh. Now the Malvim. Now we have a very hard time relating to ruach hakodesh today. What does ruach hakodesh to mean to us? So the Malvim in Mishlei, in Perek Chavdala Pasuk Gimel, source number 4. Where the pasuk says, "B'chachmi yibane bayis," with wisdom you should build a house, with divina yiskonein, and with understanding it will be established. The Malbim also explains what's chachma. Chachma are facts, knowledge, straight knowledge. He says the Malbim says in source number 5, chachma is what is mekubal. And he says, and someone gathers together the chuki achachm b'chutz, and he says he tries to know all of chachma. And it's comparable to somebody who gathers together bricks and wood and cement and all the chamarm you need to build a house. And he builds stone on top of stone. But what is tevuna? Tevuna is building the house and able to stand. Building the roof in the proper way. It's extrapolating and seeing the knowledge that comes in and what you do with the knowledge. And what's das? And I think what he says about das is very important for us. He says, "V'nigia achar kach madregas hadas sheyeda hakol biyedia brura k'davar shor b'chush o she'askila v'muskol rishon zedoma k'mamali et abayis b'chli yakar v'noyim ki ozimal chadre abayis chachma ora." So what's das? Das is that you know something v'diya brura, like something which called intuition. Intuition, that all of a sudden you have the knowledge, you have the understanding, then you have intuition. Intuition. And my father explained that what the Rashi refers to as Ruach HaKodesh, the Malbim says is intuition. Intuition is a very low level Ruach HaKodesh. Something, an idea pops into our head, and it's a good idea. That's a low level Ruach HaKodesh. So, what's the order? When someone wants to build something, when someone wants to do something, somebody wants to come to a certain conclusion, what do you do? So the Malbim points out, and Rashi, the Pasuk points out, that first you start with chachma, to collect the facts. Then you go to tefun, understanding, and then only can you come to das. Only can you come to intuitive wisdom. Only then can you come to Ruach HaKodesh. But a person who tries to go ahead right away and tries to start with das, with preconceived notions, he's obviously not going to express what the Torah wants him to express. He's not going to express the ideas of the Torah. We have to learn the Torah first. We have to learn and understand the Torah. And then once we learn and understand the Torah, then we can come to Das. My father explained at that time that the reason why people make mistakes is because they don't start with Chachma. They don't start with Chachmah. They start with Das. Once they start with Das, then they try to explain the Torah, the Chachma behind it. But the first thing has to be Chachma, the second thing has to be Tvuna, then you can think about what the intuitive wisdom is, only at that point. And that's why people make mistakes. How can people actually expect the rabbis to go ahead and to allow things that the Torah forbids specifically, if the Torah forbids it? Because the problem is they're jumping to Das first, to intuitive wisdom first, what's intuitive, and not starting with what the Torah says. Now, for anyone who would like to cast aspirations to the Torah and to say that, you know, maybe the Torah, God forbid, is not ethical, I think it's important to take notice of source number 6. Source number 6 is a Gemara Meseches Kedushin. It says, Darash Ula Rabba Pischa de Beinasiya. Ula Rabba gave a shir at the entrance to the house of the Nasi. My Dechsiv, what does it mean when it says, Yoducha Hashem Kol Malchi Eretz Kishamu Imre Picha? What does it mean when it says that all the kings of the land will admit to God because they heard the words of his mouth? So it says, Maimar Picha Lo Nemar. It doesn't say that he says, we uttered Ela Imre Picha, which means the words, not the word, but the words. What does it mean, the words? So, B'shosh Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Anocha V'lo Yiyya Lecha Elohim Acherim, Elohim Acherim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha V'lo Yiyya Lecha, you should not have other gods. Amu Musa Olam said, L'chvod Atzma Hu Doresh. All he's focused on is himself, his own kavod. Kevan she'amar kabeda sevicha v'simecha, and once he went ahead and he said kabeda sevicha v'simecha, and he says, don't just honor me, honor your parents, honor other people. They realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only concerned about his own kavod, his own honor. He's concerned about the honor of others, and there they saw that the greatness of God. Chazru v'ahodu l'maros rishonos. I think that we have to follow the example of Umas HaOlam when we go ahead and we see the Torah and we see how much the Torah is so ethical and so correct and so right. And the Torah has been an example for all nations. How can we say that anything in the Torah would be contrary to what is considered ethical today? You know, today, every time we hear that, you know, something happens, there's a tragedy somewhere, and we see either an Israeli government or we see Jews who are on the forefront of doing chesed. We speak how great the Jews are, but really, it comes from the Torah. And that says we have to realize the Torah is a very highly moral book, and the laws are very moral. And this comes from the Torah. So the question is, what do we do? In other words, do we say that, and I want to be very careful I say this, there can never be any changes in what the Torah speaks about. So on a certain level, we know, and actually in this article, he does mention, for example, we know that as religious Jews, I mean as all Jews, polygamy, which was allowed by the Torah, is not allowed anymore. Okay, and I'm sure when Mashiach comes, no one will advocate for polygamy at that point. Let's say, for example, slavery. If you go and you look, I think Rav Nachman David Rabinovich from Malaya Dumim, Dr. Jonathan Sachs, Rabbi Elchanan Samet has a very nice essay on this to point out that slavery has been abolished and we will probably not reintroduce slavery into our nation. That's what they say, and we'll come back and explain that. There are others. I'll say the idea of not marrying off a minor daughter, according to the Gemara. Person's allowed to marry off his daughter, who's a katana. However, we know that will not be allowed, and we know that even the days that the Moroyim were not in favor of such an act. Another example, the Gemara Maseches Kedushin tells us if a man wants to get married, there are three ways to affect the marriage. One is by kesef, a ring, money. The second is by a shtar contract, and the third is by having the chasan and kala having relations together. And the Gemara tells us that Rav heard of somebody who did that, and Rav gave malchus to this person. But the Torah says it's allowed. So we know that on a certain level there have been changes. So how do we explain that? The Torah says such a thing is okay. So number one, I think it's important to take notice of the Maseches Kusim. And the Maseches Kusim is in source number 11. It's one of the Maseches Ketanos. Perak Aleph Halach Yud Beis. And this is a very important Maseches Kusim. Maseches Kusim comes out and says, you should not go ahead and sell Nevela to a non-Jew. Okay? Without pointing out that maybe it's a Nevela. Why? Because, yeah, I can't understand this, but it seems that an animal that died and wasn't shechted is not the same quality as an animal that was slaughtered. Right? So if a non-Jew comes to me to buy meat, he's assuming I'm a Jew, and therefore all the meat I'm selling is obviously what? It's obviously slaughtered meat. There would be gnevas das. So I can't sell nevela meat to a non-Jew. Then he says, "Emochrim lehem imnei mimkar taos." And then he says, "Ukshem shem mochrim lehem." Just like you can't sell it to them, kach ein lochem, and don't buy from them. Why? Since we don't sell, they don't buy. Since they won't buy from us, we shouldn't buy from them. Why? Shenamar ki am kader tala Hashem alakecha. You are a holy nation. Kishaata kadosh lo sase im achar am achar kader shlamalim imcha. Should be very careful that no other nation should be perceived to be holier than you. And therefore, if a certain nation, a certain ethical standard, which we might think is mutter allowed, kind of very careful that no nation should be perceived to be holier than us. Where does the Kaval Pi Halacha, for example, is a Magen Avraham? It's not in the source sheets. But you know, there are certain situations where you're allowed to have a non-Jew. In certain situations, a contractor work on Shabbos, as long as you didn't go ahead and hire him paying by the day. And the Magen Avraham says you should never have a non-Jew work on the grounds of a shul on Shabbos. Why? Because in those days, the non-Jews would never allow work on a Sunday. They were very religious in those days. So how can we allow work done on our shul property on a Shabbos? And I think, I forgot who said what, but Dr. Lamb and my father, I think Dr. Lamb used this to say that it's a problem when people talk during davening and shul. Even if you talk during the time, which is mutter, I don't know, when is it mutter to talk? But let's say, you know, you talk during Brich Shemay, forgive me for saying that, Brich Shemay, or during Vayivitzel Aron, or you talk, you know, during Karbanos. So Dr. Lamb said that you walk into a church, no one speaks, everyone says, well, you know, we feel at home in our shul. He says, that's not really a teretz, it's not an answer. We can't be perceived to be more ethical than that the non-Jews should see more kaddush in us. My father used this to say, I don't understand the applicability either, but he used to say he was very opposed to shuls having a gambling night. Okay? He says, why? Because he says, many churches wouldn't allow gambling on their premises. I happen to know there were churches that did allow gambling, so I don't really understand, but I guess there were. Maybe Catholic churches didn't allow gambling. And he said that it's so there is something to learn. There's no question there's something to learn. So how do we know? What is an ethical value that the non-Jews have that we should learn from, as the Maseches Kusim says? And what is an ethical value that we should not learn from? So I think we have to take notice of a Ritva in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. And Ritva Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it's source number 10. And it's source number 10. And the source says that Gemara is discussing Tkiyah Shofar. And we know that certain things, if the Shofar is not prepared, you're not able to go ahead and to prepare the Shofar on Yom Tov. Okay? And the Ritva asked the question that we know that blowing a Shofar on Shabbos is Asur Midrabbanan. It's Asur Midrabbanan. So how come, if it's Asur Midrabbanan on Shabbos, why isn't Asur Midrabbanan on a regular Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah? Why is Shabbos different from regular Yom Tov itself? And Ritva says, the reason why, if you look at source number 10, this is Ritva Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis Daf Rosh Hashanah, She'im Kein Nimseis Mitzvah Zu Mispatelis Mikol Yisrael La'olam. Because if we go ahead and we say that we can't blow Shofar Rosh Hashanah, this mitzvah will become batal. Ve'eino Nasis, and will not be done. Ve'heich Yashul Gamri, V'yistru Mashat Tzitzah Torah. How can we aser Tkiyah Shofar on Yom Tov and then we'll be contradicting something in the Torah. And even though we went ahead and we asher blowing shofar on Shabbos, right? However, there you can still blow shofar on Yom Tov. You can blow shofar on the second day of Yom Tov. You can blow shofar in a regular year. But if Chazal would have ushered blowing the shofar in a regular Yom Tov because you might do something usher in preparing for it, so he says, then we basically would have destroyed, contradicted the Torah, and that's something we can't do. So we have to know, and we're trying to understand how, on a certain level, to elevate ourselves morally. We can't go against something written in the Torah. Let me give you an example. One of my students asked me this. It's a very difficult question. We know this world is standing by in horror as ISIS is beheading people. So someone said to me, if you look at the Mishnah Sanhedrin, right, you'll find that there were four... What? There are four Mises Besdin. And one of the Mises Besdin is Herod, which, you know, seems very similar to what ISIS does. So what's the answer? The answer is that there's a difference. Why? Because the Mishnah says that when the Sanhedrin killed people, it was done once every 7 years, once every 7 years. The Arva Mises Besdin, how often, right? How often could it happen? ISIS is killing indiscriminately. So let's say, for example, and by the way, you know, he speaks here about that we don't believe in a death penalty. I have to tell you that my father is very much against the death penalty. But he actually said that for terrorists, there's no question there should be a death penalty for terrorists. There should be a death penalty. He advocated that for terrorists. There's no question about it. All right? So therefore, Mashiach comes. And I don't understand what Mashiach's going to happen when Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes and someone does something and it's done in the way where you have the Adam. And the Torah says, a person like that has to be killed. All right? And even though maybe the world does not believe in the death penalty, but the Torah says it. And we can't contradict something which is specifically written in the Torah. And for that reason, so how do we know? How do we know how to evaluate how shall uplift ourselves? So there's the Meiri in source number 8. It's the end of Perek Hei at Pirkei Avos. Ben Bag Bag Omer Hafach Ba Hafach Ba. That you should go ahead and you should go through the Torah and you should, you know, put it through a strainer and a sieve. And the Meiri says, he says you have to go through the Torah diligently. All right? He says, and if you have any problems with the Torah, any problems, he says, she'im yasake, and you go through it diligently and you analyze every word. Motzaba komashin athakbek belibo alav. He says, v'hu yid kulaba. Anything that bothers you with the Torah, Miri says, hafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafafaf their memory. And you have to keep focusing the Torah. That is the Me'iri. That's the Me'iri. And so therefore, if we want to know how to go ahead and how to elevate ourselves, we have to see what the Torah tell us. Maybe there's certain things that are not written explicitly in the Torah. There's certain secrets we can find, we can try to understand. There's a Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Beis Halach Yud Ches. And this really is Hilchas Purim, Hilchas Megillah. And the Rambam is a very strange Rambam. As a matter of fact, I might have mentioned this before in this crowd, but I heard my father say once to me in his life that there's one Rambam he doesn't understand, and that's this Rambam. Right? That's this Rambam. And it happens when he told it to me, right before Purim, I was sitting with him Shabbos on Parsha Zohar, and it happened to be my mazel, I would say, that year I had gone through Rav Huttner's Sefer on Purim from cover to cover. And Rav Huttner explained this Rambam. What does the Rambam say? Perek Beis Halach Yud Ches, source number 7. Kol Sifrei Hanaviim v'chol haksuvim asinu libatel limos Mashiach. When Mashiach comes, all the books of the prophecies, all the prophets, all the ksuvim, from Yeshua, Yashmuel, Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Chagas Zecharei Malachai, Divrei Yomim, Kohelis, Shir Hashirim, are all going to come batel when Mashiach comes, except for Megillas Esther. Harehi kayemes kachamisha chum sheitora, huchilch shor shval peh, sheyemet el olam. They will last forever, like the chamisha chum sheitora and torah shval peh, which will last forever. And I remember my father telling me, Chaim, I don't understand, it's a very difficult Rambam. So I said, you know, I said I saw Rav Huttner. He explains this Rambam. What does Rav Huttner say? Rav Huttner says like this. He says, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent us the Nevi'im? After all, hafach baba, hafach ba, dekulubba, everything's in the Torah. I need Yeshayahu, I need Yirmiyahu, I need Chagai, it's all in the Torah, just didn't learn Torah. The five books, what do you need anything more? The Torah, Gemara, we're done. What do we need the Nevi'im for, the Ksuvim for? And Rav Huttner explained, because it's very difficult to extrapolate every single halacha, every moral teaching from the Torah. And therefore, the Nevi'im came along and they clarified, they explained, and a Navi Roy L'Chadish Dover, a Navi Kibbe M'Chadish can't say any new ideas. Everything a Navi says comes from the Torah itself. Every single idea comes from the Torah itself. Every idea the Navi says. So he says, that's why we have Yeshua, Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu. They taught us ideas that we couldn't find in the Torah, but they are in the Torah. They are in the Torah. He says, but when Mashiach comes, umalo kol ha'aretz deya, and the world will be filled with knowledge and more understanding, we won't need the Nevi'im. Why? Because we'll understand every idea we'll see in the Torah itself. Every single idea we'll see in the Torah itself. So therefore, Mashiach comes, the Rambam says, Kol Sifrei HaNevi'im V'chol HaKsuvim Asidin Libatli Mosu Mashiach. All the Sifrei Nevi'im will end up becoming Batl Mashiach comes, except Megillah Esther. Because Megillah Esther is not the Mechashan in the Torah. Megillah Esther were certain things that happened because of the Nes Purim. And therefore, the purpose for Megillah Esther will still remain relevant. We'll still need Megillah Esther. But under Nevi'im, whatever ideas they have, we'll see in the Torah itself. And what Rav Huttner is saying based on the Rambam is we want to understand how to elevate ourselves spiritually. It's all in the Torah. We have to look, we have to learn, we have to try to understand things. So let's say, for example, let me start with an example. Yeah. Because Megillas Esther is basically based on an event that happened. In other words, Purim will still be around when Mashiach comes, right? And therefore, the halachas of what we have to do when Mashiach comes, even with Kippurim. So for that reason, that's something you won't find in the Torah, because that's explaining. Megillas Esther is speaking about what we learn from an event that happened after Matan Torah. So therefore, we're not going to find the halachas in the Torah about Purim even after Mashiach comes.
Does that explain why people don't learn that?
I don't know if people don't learn Nach. I'm not sure. He liked it. He said to me, I remember he said to me, that's a very good answer. I have to admit, unfortunately, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, I think 17 years. I had it when I first got here to Eretz Yisrael. I think the last time I saw my Pachad Yitzchak on Purim was 15 years ago. So I haven't seen the Pachad Yitzchak in many, many years on Purim. But on this piece. But that's what he says. You know. So Purim, we need to know. We need Megillas Esther, because that's something which is not in the Torah. However, the halachas of Purim will still be relevant even when Mashiach comes, and that we're not going to find in the Torah itself. So that's what Rav Huttner says. But the chiddush is that everything else is in the Torah. And therefore, if we want to go ahead and find out how to elevate ourselves morally and spiritually, we have to look in the Torah. Now, so one thing for sure, we have to understand that we can't elevate ourselves in any way, I want to use those words loosely, if it goes against the Torah. But think, for example, polygamy. A man being able to have more than one wife. Does the Torah say that a person is obligated to marry more than one wife? If we say it's usser, the Torah say you have to. Torah does not say you have to have more than one wife. And as a matter of fact, the Targum on Megillas Rus, the last parak, when Boaz approached Ploni Almoni and said to him, "Will you be miyadim Rus, take Rus?" And he said, "No." The Targum says, "I can't, because I have an obligation to my wife, and because I married my wife and I committed to her that I would not marry more than one woman, I'm not allowed to marry her." And I remember that when I was learning Maseches Kedushin, there was a ritva that implies the same thing, that if when a husband, a man and woman get married and they have this agreement, then you can't. The Torah is so the fact that we have Cherem Beino Gershom does not go against the Torah. How about Avdus? Does the Torah say you have to have an Eved? The Torah does not say you have to have an Eved. And when the Torah allows Avdus, the Torah actually was elevating the Jew. Why? Because in the society back then, the way people treated their slaves was in a terrible manner. And by the Torah, the halachas the Torah has, we see the Torah really is elevating the Jews. If you go ahead and you look, the source number 14, the two psukim about Avadim. V'chiyaki ishes avdo o'asamaso v'shevet u'meish tachas yado nakum yinokim. And I know, by the way, there are people who are looking forward. I say this truthfully. There are people looking forward to when Mashiach comes that they can have slaves. But the Torah, I don't believe that we're going to have slaves. I don't believe because we are elevating ourselves. The Torah allowed us to have slaves because it stood our nature back then. Just like the Rambam says, why they allowed the Jews to mock of Karbanos. Okay, so we'll still have Karbanos when Mashiach comes, all right? But we're not going to have slaves. But the Torah at that time, that was reality. And the Torah elevated us and tell us how we treat slaves. It says, V'yikaki ishes ados amaso v'ashev mestach yod nakam yinakim. So Rav Shimshon Volher says, what's nakam yinakim? Source number 15. Zumisas cherev. Yivesh lev cherev mekemes. He says, and this is the punishment of Rotzeach. And he says, and the question is, why? Why does the Torah refer to the punishment of a Ritzeach as nekama, dafka, by an Eved, not by a regular Ben Chorin? So he says, so what's the idea? The idea is because a Ritzeach has done something terrible. What has a Ritzeach done? A Ritzeach has gone against the Tzelem Elokim. A Ritzeach has tried to go ahead and destroy the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Has shofeach damo shel adam is memayet b'dmuso somehow minimizes the vision the tzura of HaKadosh Baruch Hu," and therefore it's dafka. By that's why he says nekama. All right, and who has to take revenge? Who takes revenge? The Gaol Adam. Who was the Gaol Adam? David Kanani. The Eved Kanani. He says. He has no Gaol Adam. Umishum kach memale kol atzibur es machem gol hadam es al atzibur lakum linkom es nikmas tzelam. The tzibur becomes the gol hadam, and the tzibur takes the nekama of the for the Eved Kanani. And then if you look at source number 16, the same parsha, im Eved yigach hashor or amma kesef shlosh mishkol mitin ladono avashor yisakel. If you look at that, Torah says that if an eved gores a shor or a maidservant, say how much do you take? He says, he kills. You take 30. You take 30. Alma kesef, 30 shekel, which was a large amount. It wasn't a small amount. So Rav Shimshon Volher Hirsch again asks, why is it? Let's say, for example, if someone has a shor and the shor kills a ben chorin. So you have to pay kofar, right? If it's a shor muad, and what's kofar? You have to decide how much this human being have gone for in the slave market. There's no set value, but for a slave, there's a set value. Why is there a set value? So he says, Shinzo Falhirsch says, because we want to uphold the dignity of every human being. He says, if we're talking about a regular free person, and we have to evaluate how much he was worth, he's not worth so much, but he still is a ben chorin. However, a eved who doesn't have that dignity, Torah says shloshim shekel. We want to uphold our dignity. So you see, the Torah is telling us is trying to protect the slave. Why? The Torah is uplifting. They certainly did not have that values for slaves in the world around them, but that was the reality. And now we see the reality is different. The reality is different. And the world is not. And not having slaves is not against the Torah.
Is the MS of slavery ethical or unethical? So, you seem to be saying it's unethical, but the Torah hasn't permitted because of the time.
So there are certain things, there's certain things that there's a moral imperative. And certain things are decided. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us time. So just like we have mitzvah bris milah to improve ourselves, the world has to prove himself also. And you know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu started the process by going ahead and uplifting us and telling us how we treat slaves. But we see where the direction is going. The direction is going is that really slavery is not the proper thing. But at that time, the Jews were not ready for that yet. They're not ready. And we have to go ahead and we have to see beyond the written word, see what we can learn out from the sources. But we're very careful never to say something which goes against the Torah. That's the idea. And we say there's no slavery, which I think, I could be wrong. I have certain people who, as I said, who wrote essays on it, Nachum Dov Rabinovich and Rabbi Jonathan Sachs and others. But I could be wrong, but that's my feeling. And it's not a problem because it's not going against something which is usher. Okay? And as the world changes, so things which may were ethical before, right, are not ethical now. Okay, now that's in terms of slavery. Now, and do we have room to say yes, there are certain things that are not written that in terms of ethical values that we should try to add? So there, the Torah says it explicitly. Source number 12, it's in the Torah. V'yasiso hayosher v'atov v'nei Hashem l'man yitav loch uvasov yirash es aretz atov v'shenish v'ashem l'vasecha. This is interesting. You should do the yosher v'atov v'nei Hashem l'kecha, be good for you, and then you'll be yorish the land. We'll come back, explain that pasuk a little bit later again. But there's a whole discussion. What does it mean, yosher v'atov? How is it straight and good, different than the rest of the Torah? And the Ramban says, Rav Seinu Bezeh Medrash Yofa. Amru, what does a Chazal say? What is a Shish Yashar Atov? Pshar of Nimishar Asadin. It means compromising and going beyond the law. V'akavana Bezeh, ki kvidchilo Amr Shish Baruch Hu Kosev V'dostav Asher Tzivcha. First Torah says, keep all the mitzvos. V'ata Yomar, and now it's saying, Gam Bashir Lo Tzivcha Tein Dad Chalasa Tov Yashmeinov. Even what the Torah does not command you to do, you should try to be better than that. Ki hu ohev atov yashar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the straight and good. V'zeinyin gadol, v'fisha iyashil ahaskir b'torah kol hanahakos ha'odom yishcheina v'reyav v'chol masom atonam v'tikunei ayishuv v'adinos kulam. It's impossible for various reasons the Torah to mention every single hanahakotovah, every good custom. Aval achare shehiskir meim harbeh yigon lo seilach rochir shinta lashon hara losin lo sidar losamon ariyacha. All these things you should not stand by while your neighbor is God for the dying. You shouldn't take revenge. So the halacha is not to curse somebody. They say v'tokum, give respect to the elderly. Chiyotu behen chazar lomer b'derech klal shiyasa tov yashar chol davar. Achi kanav zav sharof nimashir sadin, going beyond the law. So in other words, the Torah allows us to do this. Look what's going on around you to notice. And when you're ready, bring yourself to the next step, including yourself, including the yasei yashar tov. Ukemosh shesgir v'din the bar metzra, in terms of when you want to sell, who you should sell your field to. V'afilu masha amru pirkonah. Gemara speaks in Maseches Tainus, Maseches Yuma, Pirkonah, Gemara in Maseches Tainus is that no one will criticize you when you're older for what you did when you were younger, and you speak v'nachasim abrios, and people call you a tam v'yasher. So the Ramban says clearly, based on Chazal, there's room to elevate ourselves. And I have to tell you that this room to elevate ourselves even comes from the non-Jews. And I'd like to go to the last two sources for Rav Tzadok HaKohen. I think very beautiful, these Rav Tzadoks are very, very beautiful. Rav Tzadok. Rav Tzadok, basically, he asked a question. Source number 18, this is Parshas Vayichi. Rav Tzadok asks that we know that between every Parsha is always a break. And we know that between the Parsha of Vayichi and Vayigash, there's no break. So, Rashi says what he says, and he explains that that kulam dimri emes, and he says another tam listimasa. All right, he says very interesting. He says the whole piece is not here, but Yaakov Avinu had his best years in Mitzrayim, his best years, and you can imagine probably in Mitzrayim we know that according to Chazal Yaakov sent Yehuda to Mitzrayim to build a yeshiva, whatever that means. I really don't know what it means, but I can imagine there was a lot of spiritual growth while Yaakov was still alive. And Rav Tzadok HaKohen asked the question, how can that be? The Yaakov Avinu's best years were in Golis. How can that be? And Rav Tzadok says, He says, what happened in Mitzrayim? The second line of source number 18, the Sheyizgala v'yagila olam klal, hachnosas Yisrael, nefashos, kedoshos, kedushos, muchanim lechabolas haTorah. So it came to the world, Knesset Yisrael, v'yagila olam klal hachnosas Yisrael. Grow holy souls who are writing the Kabbalah Torah. The Chutz Loretz, the Loba Aretz. He says, and Ramban says, the Ramban says, the Sefer Reishis is the Sefer Bria Olam, the Gemara Habria, the happened in Eretz Mitzrayim. He says, Hey, Min Yonan Shtumin Elamim, Misechel Alviram. He says, the reason why Vayechi is a Parsha Sosom, he says, because Parsha Stuma, because we can't understand it. How is it that in Chutz Loretz things happen? How is it that Yaakov had his best years in Chutz Loretz? How is it that he gave birth to a nation that was writing the Kavod Torah in Chutz Loretz and Mitzrayim? We can't understand it. There's certain things we can't understand. But the facts are the facts, that the Jewish people grew. How is it that the Talmud Bavli, which is our source of Torah today, how is that? The Nevi'im Ksuvim, that was only in Eretz Yisrael in general, a few exceptions. But even then they ask a question, how can you have a Nevu in Chutz Loretz? But the Talmud Bavli, it all happened in Chutz Loretz. How can that be? How can that be? He says, the idea of the hafsakos, the breaks, is to give space for Moshe to understand certain things you can't understand. And therefore, since certain things you can't understand, it's a parsha stuma. He says, and the lesson is, and this is very beautiful, v'al kopanim ramiz lanu. So it teaches us, v'al kopanim ramiz lanu, v'inyan hazeh, shlo yimas levenu, mashir anach v'kvisa l'meshicha. We shouldn't be depressed that we're in the footsteps of Mashiach, and every generation we see that we're regressing a little bit. We see for our forefathers that they reached all the kedushos where in Chutz Loretz. Because this is definitely the ratzon of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And he says, "V'shamati b'shem Rav Kaddish mi shischa zetzal she'af shanafashus miskatan mechaldor mikol mekon akudish shebelev nitor." Somehow that point in the heart becomes pure. So even though we say niskatanu hadoros, on some level we're growing. There's certain Torah we know, they didn't know previous years. And there's certain things that, yes, we've grown. There's certain things, yes, we've learned from the Muslim. Yes, exactly where it started, I don't know. But definitely there's certain things that we picked up. In the Middle Ages, the Jews were the most hygienic of all the people. But today, Baruch Hashem, we've learned from the Muslim what hygiene is. We've learned a lot. And we've grown, we've elevated ourselves on some level. And he says it again in Parshas Devarim. I'm sorry, Sefer Devarim, Parshas Eschanan. He says, V'tikva yinu ba'asid shemati, source number 19, Rebbein HaKadosh Zetzal, Shom B'Shem Rebbe Rebbunim, Shischa, Sho'amar Sha'af Shadoras Hamochos Mismatim. He said, the brains are regressing a little bit. V'chol Pam, Avon Lakudas Hachayim Shebelev Misrachiv Tamid. The source of life in our hearts are getting wider and expanding. He says, I saw this in many places. Why? Because he says, we are in Golus. And why is Golus lasting so long? But we know from the previous exile, the Jews gained out of the Golus. So we're certainly gaining. V'zesh Amar Hashem Yisbarach in Yirmiyahu Perek Chavtes, Ki Enochi Yadati. I know what's good for you. The Jews don't know. But we see a tikva, the hope that's going to be there. In other words, there's something good that we're getting, at least until recently, out of Golus. We're elevating ourselves on some level. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the Pasuk, source number 12, V'sisa Hayashar V'atov V'nei Hashem Olekecha. That how you inherit the land when you go beyond what's in the Torah. As the Ramban explains, you elevate yourself, then you'll come and inherit the land. We have to learn, we have to elevate ourselves, and then we'll come and inherit the land. But we have to be very careful. that how we define morality, and morality is defined by the Torah. And if society thinks something is moral, the first question we have to ask ourselves, does the Torah allow it? The Torah says such a thing is not allowed. We can't go against that. But there's certain things the Torah does not say is not allowed. Certain things the Torah might have hinted towards a certain thing, but we can find the Torah is leading us in a certain direction. And why? Because our Kaddish Baruch Hu wants us to improve ourselves. He wants that we should realize for ourselves certain things. But as Ritva says, we can never ever go against anything in the Torah. And are there certain things in the Torah that are very difficult, are very challenging? There's no question. There are certain things in the Torah that are very challenging. He says, you know, if you look at source number 9, it says, Vayetse ben, it's Medrash and Vayikra Rabbah, Parshas Emor. Vayetse ben Isha Yisraelis, hu ha dechsiv. You know, he was a person, unfortunately, a poor person that, you know, had a non-Jewish father, a Jewish mother. He felt isolated. We know the story, what happened afterwards. Hu ha dechsiv, the Medrash says, V'shachti v'ani v'erias kol ha-shukim. He says, I'll see all people who are oppressed. And Daniel Chayta Pasar Krayavim and Zerim. And the Medrash mentions Daniel Chayta, he explained the Pasar Krayavim and Zerim. And Zerim are oppressed. What did they do wrong? Their parents did something wrong. And here they can't marry a regular Jew. This is the tears of those who are oppressed. The fathers of these, the fathers and mothers that committed an Avera, the Ilan Aluva, and they're suffering. What, his father had an ill relationship? Why is it his fault? There's no Menachem. You know, and Medrash goes on, they go to the Sanhedrin. And the Sanhedrin doesn't help them, because he can't be helped, because the Torah says, what can you do? And what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Allah Nachamam. I will come for them. Avalasid lavo, they keep the halacha. Amr Zacharya, Anna, Chamite Elu, Korsan Kulan, the Havnaki. These are all the purest. So are there things in the Torah that are very difficult, very challenging, but the Torah says. And those things that are difficult, we have to accept it. Other things that we feel that maybe there's a certain moral compass that actually seems correct in our eyes, doesn't go in the Torah, we have to elevate ourselves. And where does this come from? As we say, we learn from the world around us also. And Rav Tzadok says that some of these things we learn from the Golos. We pick up things in the Golos. I have to tell you that, you know, we speak about what's going on in the world around us. And we know what's going on in the world around us. You know, you can hear, you see the messages on many levels. I would say, Jews should come back to Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately. Not unfortunately, we should come back to Eretz Yisrael. But you see, it's very scary what's going on in the world around us. There are, you know, for sure in Europe, probably in America. And there's so many messages that it's time to leave Golos. So many messages as we say it's time to come home. Time to end the Golos. And if the purpose of Golos, as Rav Tzadok says, is to grow a little bit, I think we've taken out of Golos all that we can take. Because unfortunately, the moral level of people, of the world around us, is definitely on a lower level in the Torah. And if it's starting to affect the Jews already, it's time to come home. And that's the message. Yes, Torah says, Torah is a highly moral ethical book. And the Torah wants us to elevate ourselves more. Not to go against anything written in the Torah, of course, but to learn from the Torah what is ethical, what is right. Vasis Yashar Vatov. Not another nation should not be holier than us, as the Maseches Kusim says. And that we might learn from the world to open our eyes. But there comes a time when the world around us is bringing us down. And at that time, I think, it's time to come home. And really, everyone should come back. So we should be able now to take what we learn from Golis and just be inspired by the Torah itself. And we could be that Mamlechus Kohen, the Goy Kadosh, the inspiration for the whole world. Everyone should have a wonderful summer.